Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace and this your holy Sabbath day. We ask, Father, that your word would be mightily upon us and that you would direct your servants and that you would bless us on this your feast of unleavened bread, the Sabbath that is within. Father, open our hearts and minds to receive the implanted word. Help us to grow in your grace and knowledge and to learn the things that you would have us learn. We know, Father, that your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, showed us two important lessons. One, that he loves you more than anything, and that we should love Yahweh above all. And that, two, we should love our neighbors as ourselves. The two great commandments, Father, help us to live those commandments as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. Because your word has showed us that if we have any ill feelings, if we hate our brother whom we see, that we don't know you, Father, whom we haven't seen. So we thank you, Father, for the blessing from on high, for your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, whom you sent to die on this earth, that his shed blood would cleanse us from all sins. Help us to be faithful. Help us to overcome Satan the devil as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. We love you and thank you. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. May all be seated. This message is entitled, Unleavened Bread of Life. The Unleavened Bread of Life. We're going to start in the law in Leviticus 23. Leviticus chapter 23, we'll start in verse 1. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, and say to them, the set feast of Yahweh, which you proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my set feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no manner of work. It is a Sabbath to Yahweh and all your dwellings. And we are keeping the Sabbath day as fulfillment of this. And we see here that the Sabbath is the first of the holy convocations. Verse 4 says, these are the set feasts of Yahweh, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in the appointed season. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, is Yahweh's Passover, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to Yahweh. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. But you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. Also in Deuteronomy chapter 16, observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover to Yahweh, your Elohim. In the month of Abib, Yahweh, your Elohim, brought you forth out of Egypt by night. And you shall sacrifice the Passover to Yahweh, your Elohim, of the flock and of the herd, in the place which Yahweh shall choose, to cause his name to dwell there. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it, even the bread of affliction. For you came forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, and you may remember the day when you came forth, that you may remember the day when you came forth out of the land of Egypt, all the days of your life. There shall no leaven be seen with you in all your borders 7 days, neither shall any flesh, which you sacrificed the first day at evening, remain all night into the morning. You may not sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates, with Yahweh your Elohim, which Yahweh your Elohim gives you, but at the place which Yahweh your Elohim shall choose, cause his name to dwell in, there you shall sacrifice the Passover at evening. At the going down of the sun, at the season that you came forth out of Egypt. And you shall roast and eat it in the place which Yahweh Elohim shall choose. And you shall turn in the morning and go to your tents. 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the seventh day shall be a solemn assembly to Yahweh Elohim. You shall do no work in it. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, we'll start in verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt, the whole congregation of Israel murmured against Moses. And this is 30 days after they came out of Egypt. Just 30 days after they had been delivered. And the children of Israel said to them, if only we had died by the hand of Yahweh in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. See, they were murmuring. They were going back to, and this happens too often with people. They've received deliverance from Almighty Yahweh. And then they turn. They start to complain. Verse 4, said Yahweh to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall come to pass on the sixth day that they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So he's giving them a double portion on the sixth day. And Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, in the evening you shall know that Yahweh has brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of Yahweh, because he hears your murmuring against Yahweh. And what are we that you murmur against us? It's talking about Moses and Aaron, the leadership. See, because actually they were murmuring against Yahweh. Yahweh had given them a great deliverance, bringing them out of Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. Yet they didn't appreciate. A month later, Yahweh brings them out, and they're complaining about the food that they had when they were back in Egypt, the bread that they had when they were back in Egypt. Verse 8, and Moses said, this shall be when Yahweh shall give you flesh to eat in the evening and bread to the full in the morning, because Yahweh hears your murmuring, that you murmur against them. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against Yahweh. And Moses said to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come before Yahweh, for he has heard your murmuring. And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of Yahweh appeared in the cloud. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, in the evening you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And you shall know that I am Yahweh, your Elohim. And it came to pass at evening that quails came up and covered the camp. In the morning, the dew lay around the camp. And when the dew that laid was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, a small round thing, small as hoarfrost, on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they knew not what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread which Yahweh has given you to eat. This is the thing which Yahweh has commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, and omer a head, according to the number of your persons, shall you take it. Every man for them that are in his tent. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. And when they measured it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that had little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. So Yahweh provided just enough for them. They had exactly what they needed, so that they didn't have any more reason to murmur. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said to them, let no man leave it until the morning. However, they listened not to Moses, but some of them kept part of it until the morning, and it bred worms and became foul, and Moses was angry with them. He was trying to teach them an object lesson. Yahweh's giving you your daily bread. This is all you need. You take what you can eat. Don't try to hoard it. Don't try to save it for the next day. He's going to provide for you again the next day. But see, they had little faith. They didn't seem to understand that Yahweh was going to provide for them. See? And that's how most people who lack faith are. See? They'll complain and complain, yet they're eating every day. They have what they need every day. Verse 21. Verse 21 of Exodus 16. And they gathered it morning by morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun grew hot, it melted. So you had to get up. That was the other thing. You couldn't wait. If you was lazy and you wanted to lay in the bed, you got up, it's gone. Because the sun came up, it melted, it was gone. So you had to get up. That was another part of it. That was a training exercise to see who was willing to get up, to go do what they needed to do to get that food that was being provided for them. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses, and he said to them, this is what Yahweh has spoken. Tomorrow is a solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to Yahweh. Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil. And all that remains over, save it to be kept until the morning. And they saved it until the morning, and Moses commanded that it did not become foul. Neither was there any worm in it. Moses said, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath to Yahweh. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days shall you gather it, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath. And in it there shall be none. And it came to pass on the seventh day that there went out some of the people to gather, and they found none. And Yahweh said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my law? See, because Yahweh has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. So he's going to provide for you on Friday double portion. So you don't have to go out on the Sabbath to say, oh, I'm looking, I gotta hustle up some money. I gotta hustle up some bread. It's already taken care of. Yahweh has already taken care of it. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, on the Sabbath day. And the house of Israel called the name of it manna. And it was like coriander seed white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which Yahweh has commanded. Let an omer full of it be kept throughout your generations, that they may see the bread which I fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And this didn't go foul either. It was for a special purpose. And Moses said to Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna in it and place it before Yahweh to be kept throughout your generations as Yahweh commanded Moses. So Aaron put it before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel ate the manna 40 years until they came to the land inhabited. They ate manna until they came to the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer full, omer is a tenth part of the ephah. Nehemiah chapter 9. The other thing I want you to do, brethren, I want you to write in your notes Psalm 78. We're not going to take time to go through Psalm 78, but you need to read this whole psalm because it's talking about the same thing. We're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 9. This message is entitled The Unleavened Bread of Life. And you saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt and heard their cry by the Red Sea and showed signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and on all his servants and on all the people of his land. For you knew that they dealt proudly against them and you got your name as is this day. And you did divide the sea before them, so that they went through the middle of the sea on dry land, and their pursuers you cast into the depths, as a stone in the mighty waters. Moreover, in a pillar of cloud you led them by day, and in a pillar of fire by night, to give them light in the way in which they shall go. And we know that light was Yahshua the Messiah. They were led by the Messiah, just like we are. But they were led for 40 days, I mean for 40 years, in the wilderness. And they saw all these great miracles that were performed by Yahweh for them. He provided them food, bread from heaven, on a daily basis. You know what? It got old. They forgot about it. It became second nature. Oh, manna, manna, manna. We're going to have manna again. You understand? He provided for them. They didn't have to go out and hunt for it. They didn't have to seek it. All they had to do was go pick it up. It was provided for them. All they had to do was get up. He made it very easy for Israel. Verse 13, you came down also upon Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven and gave them right ordinances and true laws and good statutes and commandments and made known to them your holy Sabbath and commanded them commandments and statutes and a law by Moses your servant and gave them bread from heaven for their hunger and brought forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst and commanded them that they should go in to possess the land which you had sworn to give them. But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their neck and listened not to your commandments and refused to obey, neither were mindful of your wonders that you did among them, but hardened their neck and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. That was in Numbers 14:4. But you are an Elohim, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and forsook them not. Yes, when they had made a molten calf and said, this is your Elohim that brought you up out of the land of Egypt and had worked great provocations, yet you and your manifold mercies forsook them not in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud departed not from over them by day, but lead them in the way. Neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and gave way and the way in which they should go. You gave also the good spirit to instruct them and withheld not your manna from their mouth and gave them water for their thirst Yes, 40 years did you sustain them in the wilderness, and they lacked nothing. They lacked nothing. Their clothes grew not old, and their feet swelled not. They didn't have to go out and buy new clothing. Yahweh provided for them. Moreover, you gave them kingdoms and peoples, which you did allot after their portion. So they possessed the land of Sihon, even the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. Their children also you multiplied as the stars of heaven, and brought them into the land concerning which you said to their fathers, that they should go in to possess it. So the children went in and possessed the land. Just the children. The adults died in their sin in the 40 years in the wilderness because they did not respect the blessings of Yahweh, the miracles that he performed in front of them. They were not faithful. But the children went in and possessed the land, and you subdued before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gave them into their hands with their kings and the peoples of the land that they might do with them as they would. And they took fortified cities and a fat land and possessed houses full of good things, cisterns hewn out, vineyards and olive yards and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in their great goodness. So he blessed them. This is the children, remember? He's going to bless the children that are left that are going to be able to go into the kingdom. Nevertheless, in verse 26, they were disobedient and rebelled against you and cast your law behind their back and killed your prophets and testified against them to turn them again to you. And they worked great provocation. Therefore, you delivered them into the hand of their adversaries who distressed them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried to you, you heard from heaven. According to your manifold mercies, you gave them saviors like Samson, who saved them out of the hand of their adversary. But after they had rest, they did evil again before you. Therefore, you left them in the hand of the enemies, so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried to you, you heard from heaven, and many times did you deliver them according to your mercies, and testified against them that you might bring them again to your law. But you know what? It's easy for us today. We have it right before. See, they didn't have it codified in a book that they can just go right to and read. See? You think about it. It was a little bit more difficult for them, but they knew the law. They knew what Moses had brought to them from Yahweh. Yet they dealt proudly and listened not to your commandments, but sinned against your ordinances, which if a man does, he shall live in them, and withdrew the shoulder and hardened their neck and would not hear. Yet many years did you bear with them and testified against them by your spirit through your prophets. Yet would they not give ear. Therefore you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the land. Nevertheless, in your manifold mercies, you did not make a full end of them nor forsake them, for you are a gracious and merciful El. And truly Yahweh is gracious. And truly Yahweh is merciful. You think about what he has done in each and every one of your lives. Think back as far as you can remember. As a child, think about how Yahweh guided you. You may not have known him as Yahweh in that time, but think about it. Yahweh has always been guiding you. He's been directing your life. He's kept you safe in situations where you might have seen someone else perish. But he's kept you safe. Verse 32. Now therefore our Elohim, the great and mighty, and terrible El, who keeps covenant and loving kindness, that not all the travail seem little before you, that has come upon us, on our kings, on our princes and on our priests and on our prophets and on our fathers and on all your people since the time of the kings of Assyria to this day. However, you are just in all that has come upon us, but you have dealt truly, that we have done wickedly. And what Nehemiah is showing them is that it's them that have sinned. They went into captivity because of the way they acted, because they did not keep the commandments of Almighty Yahweh. So he's putting it on their kings and their princes and their priests and their fathers. You know, but it's up to us individually, because we know that there's some righteous individuals that went into this captivity. We know Daniel was a part of it. We know Ezekiel was a part of it, and the three young Hebrew children. There were many who were righteous. Jeremiah. Yet Jeremiah didn't have to go into captivity. But a lot of the righteous seed of Israel went into captivity because the sin of the people wasn't just them. And Jeremiah told him, just go. Just do it. Yahweh's going to bless you in the captivity. But you got to do it. You got to, you know, you have to take the punishment. 70 years. They were in Babylonian captivity. And then the Persians took over. He said, for they, verse 35, have not served you in their kingdom and in your great goodness that you gave them, and in the large and fat land which you gave before them, neither turn they from their wicked works. Behold, we are servants this day, and as for the land that you gave to our fathers to eat the fruit of it and the good of it, behold, we are servants in it. And it yields much increase to the kings whom you have set over us because of our sins. Also, they have power over us, over our bodies and over our cattle at their pleasure. And we are in great distress. And yet for all this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes, our Levites, and our priests seal to it. In other words, they're putting their hands to it because they realize the covenant and that they had sinned against Almighty Yahweh. But you know what happened? Yahweh forgave. He put them back in the land. Just like he forgives our sins when we repent and come before him. And that's what Joshua wanted us to do. He wanted us to repent of our sinful ways and partake of the unleavened bread of life. And that unleavened bread is Joshua the Messiah. Turn to John chapter 6. We'll start at verse 1. John chapter 6. After these things, Joshua went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they believed they beheld the signs which he did on them that were sick. And Joshua went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Joshua, therefore, lifting up his eyes and seeing the great multitude, comes to him and says to Philip, from where are we to buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove them, for he himself knew what he would do. He knew what miracle he was about to perform. Philip answered him, 200 denarii's worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are these among so many? Joshua said, make the people sit down. There was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. Joshua therefore took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed them that were set down. Likewise also the fishes as much as they wanted. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the broken pieces which remain over, that nothing be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with broken pieces from the five barley loaves, which remained over to them that had eaten. When therefore the people saw the sign which he did, they say, this is of the truth the prophet that comes into the world. Joshua, therefore, perceiving that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again into the mountain himself alone. I'll turn over to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We're going to go back to John chapter 6, but right now, Luke 12. Verse 1, it says, in the meantime, when the many thousands of the multitude were gathered together, so much they trod one upon another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware you of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered up that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the darkness shall be heard in the light. What you have spoken in the ear, in the inner chambers, shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do, but I warn you whom you shall fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into Gehenna. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for two a sally? And not one of them is forgotten in the sight of Elohim? But the very hairs of your head are numbered, are all numbered. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows. And I say to you, every one who shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of Elohim. But he that denies me in the presence of men shall be denied in the presence of the angels of Elohim. And everyone who shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But to him that blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven. Now remember what it says here in verse 2. Nothing covered up, it shall not be revealed, and hid, it shall not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in darkness shall be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in the inner chamber shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Verse 11, and when they bring you before the synagogue, and the rulers and the authorities, be not anxious of how or what you shall answer or what you shall say. For the Holy Spirit shall teach you in that very hour, the Holy Spirit is going to teach you what you ought to say. Back to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 22. On the next day, the multitude that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there, save one, and that Joshua entered not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples went away alone. However, there came boats from Tiberias near to the place where they ate the bread after the rabbi had given thanks, after the miracle. See, they were there because they ate the bread. Joshua gave them food. He provided them food. So therefore, they were there. And they were looking for him again. See, they sought Joshua. When the multitude therefore saw that Joshua was not there, neither his disciples, they themselves got into the boat and came to Capernaum seeking Joshua. They came looking for him now, and they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when came you here? Yahshua answered them and said, Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. See, you seek in me because your bellies are being filled. He says, work not for the food which perishes, but for the food which remains to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you, for him, the Father, even Yahweh, has sealed. See, Yahweh is providing us with that food from heaven, that unleavened bread of life, Yahshua the Messiah. It's important that we understand that Yahshua is our unleavened bread. Verse 28, they said therefore to him, what must we do that we may work the works of Elohim? Yahshua answered and said to them, this is the work of Elohim, that you believe on him whom he has sent. They said therefore to him, what then do you for a sign that we may see and believe on you? What do you work? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. And yes, he provided them bread from heaven, the manna. Yahshua therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses that gave you the bread out of heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of Elohim is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. The unleavened bread of life, Yahshua the Messiah. They said, therefore, to him, Rabbi, evermore give us this bread. Yahshua said to them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall not hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. But I said to you, that you have seen me, and yet believe not. All that which the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. See, they're going to be saved. For I am come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And that's what Yahshua did. He came to do Yahweh's will. He didn't come to do his own thing. He came to be the bread of life to each and every one of us. The unleavened bread of life. He told us that in Luke chapter 12, he told us that we had to be careful because the Pharisees and Sadducees, he said, beware you of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And you think about the Pharisees that you've heard, that you've been around. They're hypocrites. But Yahshua is the real deal. He is the unleavened bread of life. He said in verse 39, and this is the will of him that sent me, of all that which he has given me, I should lose nothing but should raise it up at the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone that beholds the Son and believes on him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews therefore murmured concerning him, because he said, I am the bread which came down out of heaven. And they said, is this not Yahshua, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I am come down out of heaven? Yahshua answered and said to them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father that has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of Yahweh, everyone that has heard from the Father and has learned. Comes to me, not that any man has seen the Father except he that is from Yahweh. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he that believes has eternal life, and I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, which that if a man may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Yes, and the bread which I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Now, we partake of the Passover memorial. It's symbolic, but we are partaking of the bread of life, the unleavened bread, Yahshua the Messiah, which gives us life. The Jews, in verse 52, therefore quarreled one with another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Yahshua therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have not life in yourselves. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is true meat indeed, and my blood is true drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so that he that eats me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate, not like the manna, and died. He that eats this bread shall live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Nothing shall be hidden, brethren. These things are being revealed. They're being open so that you can look into this word and understand what Yahshua is speaking of, what he's talking about. I'm going to continue in verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? But Yahshua, knowing in himself that his disciples murmured at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What then if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. These words are life. And see, as we partake more of the word of Yahweh, we're giving ourselves more life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Yahshua, from the beginning, who they were that believed not, and who it was that should betray him. And he said, for this cause have I said to you that no man can come to me unless it is given to him of the Father. And like he said, this was a hard saying for a lot of them. They couldn't understand it, even though they had walked with Yahshua. They saw the miracles. Now, think about this. They knew of the stories. They knew of the manna that was fed to ancient Israel that had come out of Egypt. For 40 years, they ate this manna, the bread of heaven. But the true bread of heaven, Yahshua the Messiah, the unleavened bread, they rejected. They rejected. Just like their forefathers that were in the wilderness, they rejected the blessing from Almighty Yahweh. They murmured, and they received the quail, and they received the manna. They murmured as well, and they received death instead of life. Verse 66. Upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him because they couldn't handle what he was showing them, what he was teaching them. Yahshua said, therefore, to the 12, would you also go away? Simon Peter answered him, teacher, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and know that you are the Holy One of Yahweh. Yahshua answered them, did not I choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? Now he spoke of Judah, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 9. It says, a little leaven leavens the whole lot. It doesn't take a lot to corrupt the people, but a little leaven leavens the whole lot. Just a little bit. And Satan knows this, brethren. He knows this. This is why it's not going to take a whole lot to take people off into a off on a tangent. It doesn't take a big lie. It just takes a little false doctrine. And see, that's why it says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Because they were telling the people one thing. Now, this is during the feast, unleavened bread. Yahshua, who is there, who is the unleavened bread of life, who could give them eternal life, yet they followed the religious leaders instead of Yahshua. Many of his disciples went back, yet they were with him. Now, you think about it. If you were there, would you have gone back, or would you have followed on with Yahshua? Very few went that narrow way. Very few sought the Yahshua. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. That's where we have to be, brethren. We have to get to a point in our life where we are unleavened. We're not puffed up. It says, for our Passover also has been sacrificed, even the Messiah. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That's important, brethren, that we understand and recognize who we are following. Yahshua the Messiah was unleavened. And therefore, the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth is with Yahshua. We know that that malice and wickedness is with the leaders, with the Pharisees, because they were teaching, they're teaching this hypocrisy. They taught hypocrisy. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We'll start in verse 21. He said, therefore, again to them, I will go away, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sin. Just like they did in the wilderness for 40 years. Everyone except Yahshua and Caleb died in their sin in the wilderness. Where I go, you cannot come. They weren't able to get into the promised land because they rejected Yahweh's blessing. The Jews therefore said, will he kill himself that he says, where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of the world. I say therefore to you that you shall die in your sins, for except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. They said therefore to him, who are you? Joshua said to them, even that which I have also spoken to you from the beginning, I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you. However, he that sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, these speak I to the world. They perceived not that he spoke to them of the Father. Joshua therefore said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, that then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I do always the things that are pleasing to him. Can we say that, brethren, that we do always the things that are pleasing to Yahweh? Can we say that? As he spoke these things, many believed on him. He converted many. They believed on him. Joshua in verse 31 therefore said to those Jews that had believed on him, if you remain in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Remember in John chapter 6, many of his disciples stopped following him because they said, this is a hard saying. I can't deal with this. You know, this is tough. Then verse 33, they answered to him, we are Abraham's seed and have never yet been in bondage to any man. How say you, you shall be made free? Joshua answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone that commits sin is a bondservant of sin. And the bondservant remains not in the house forever, the son remains forever. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, yet you seek to kill me, because my word has not free course in you. See, they weren't able to accept the word of Yahweh. I speak the things which I have seen with my Father, and you also do the things which you heard from your Father. So he's making a distinction between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean. He's making a distinction between those who follow Yahweh, those who are following Satan the devil. They answered and said to him, our father is Abraham. Joshua said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth. And when people get upset when you speak the truth to them, you know that they're not walking in the truth. See? It doesn't have free course in them. They're resisting because Satan the devil has a hold on them, and they don't want to give it up. Which I heard from Yahweh, this did not Abraham. You do the works of your father. They said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, even Elohim. And this is really rich, because they said he was blaspheming when he said that Yahweh was his father. Yet they're claiming Yahweh to be their father. Joshua said to them, if Yahweh were your father, you would love me. For I came forth and have come from Elohim, for neither have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and stands not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, and he is a liar and the father of it. But because I say the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I say truth, Why do you not believe me? He that is of Yahweh hears the words of Yahweh. For this cause you hear them not, because you are not of Yahweh. The Jews answered and said to him, Say we not well that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Yahshua answered, I have not a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if a man keeps my word, he shall never see death. He's talking about the second death. Are you greater than my father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died? Whom make you yourself? Yahshua answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say that he is your Elohim, and you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be like you, a liar. But I know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. The Jews therefore said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Yahshua said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. They took up stones therefore to cast at him, but Yahshua hid himself and went out of the temple, and going through the middle of them, went his way, and so passed by. Brethren, the unleavened bread of life is Yahshua the Messiah. He is the bread of life. And we have to accept that bread to be a part of the kingdom which is soon to come upon this earth. Almighty Yahweh is going to bless each and every one of us that have accepted our Passover lamb, Yahshua the Messiah. Our Passover has been sacrificed, even the Messiah. So we have to accept that sacrifice to be a part of the soon coming kingdom. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you be an unleavened servant of Almighty Yahweh. At this time, I'm going to ask Brother Davis if he would come and close the service with a word of prayer.
Almighty Yahweh, we come humbly but boldly before your throne. We praise and thank you for another day. Praise and thank you for forgiveness of our sins and for the word that was spoken. Allow it to be embedded into our lives and allow us to continue to adhere to your Sabbath day rest, and allow we, your people, to understand and do no work on the high holy days, the first and the seventh day. Allow us to keep bees in our hearts and our minds and be mindful of it. Allow us to be grateful for you delivering us, and allow us to gather twice enough on the sixth day. We ask Almighty Yahweh that you allow us to be thankful for the daily bread in which you provide for us. And we ask Almighty Yahweh that you would give us wisdom not to complain. We ask that you allow us to be slow to speak and quick to listen. We ask Almighty Yahweh that you would allow us wisdom to know that we are led by Yahshua, our Messiah, your Son. We ask Almighty Yahweh that you would give us wisdom to do your work and allow us not to die in our sins, but allow us to remain faithful in all ways and all things. Allow us, Almighty Yahweh, to be discerning of the hypocrisy in our lives, and if we have it, we ask Almighty Yahweh that you would purge it out of us. We ask Almighty Yahweh that you would allow us to understand and discern that Yahshua is our unleavened bread, and help our unbelief in all ways and all things. Strengthen our faith, Almighty Yahweh. We ask that you would allow us to choose that narrow path that you've chosen for us, Almighty Yahweh. We ask that you would purchase us never before. be our peace to go forward, and allow us to be Yahshua bondservant, and allow us to be discerners between followers of you, Almighty Yahweh, and of those who follow the adversary. Quicken us right now as never before in this area of discernment. And we ask that you would deliver us from the strongholds that hinder us from walking in truth. We ask these and all of our blessings, Almighty Yahweh, and allow us to keep your word, Father, and allow us to continue to walk according to your election and purpose. We ask these and all of our blessings in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah.
For our closing song, take your song books and turn with me to page number 33. We're going to sing Holy Love.